Psalms chapter 78 this evening, and it's good to be able to minister, and hope to do that again tonight. And this week has been really neat, just how the Lord has put together messages. He's given me the three messages that I've preached this week quite a while ago, and I've had time to work on those, and it wasn't a last-minute decision, and I haven't had to change a message to see God putting all these things together, and it's just neat to see the Lord work in meetings, especially when there's multiple people. And Psalm chapter 78, you're going to think I'm going to steal some other people's message again in verse 52. Brother Ian preached two messages on this, but made his own people to go forth like sheep. And you already heard about sheep quite a bit, and the shepherd, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And so we've seen already about the wilderness, and I'm not going to focus on either of those things, although it just ties in very well again. But I'm going to look at growing in God's guidance. Growing in God's guidance. So let's pray. Father, again, thank you for just another chance to be able to be together, at least in spirit. And like Paul writing and saying, hey, if I'm not there in presence, at least I'm there in spirit. And I know brothers and sisters are watching, and we think of each other, and I miss them, and being around them, it's neat to see some of them get up and sing on various Sundays. And Lord, just thank you again for this week, and just how much we need you, and to be closer to you, and just we need these things, and thank you for a pastor to put these things together and organize them, and just care about the flock. And I pray you'd help and feed your people tonight, and as you've already done, and continue to just, Lord, help me out to be able to get these words out. And you know the difficulties for it, and Lord, just have you take over. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so looking at, you know, a guide, won't go to a lot of passages, but a guide simply in a lot of places is a leader. Someone's leading someone into a place. Sometimes it's leading through obstacles or trials or troubles. A lot of time it has focus on leading at the right time. Timing has a lot to do with leading. But in Psalm 78, you have a history of the nation of Israel again, and the Lord continually just don't forget your history through the Bible, and continually focus that on his nation there of Israel. And he puts it together in a parable form. And he starts off in verse number 1, talking to Israel, and of course, I'm not going to take the prophetic applications tonight. We're going to be looking at the spiritual side of these things tonight and how they apply in our lives and just how God works in our guidance, how he guides us and the stages of guiding. And from what I see, God deals differently in his guidance with a younger Christian than with an older Christian. And I hope to show you some of those things as we go. In Psalms chapter 78, he starts off, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. And a good place to start with guidance is at a young age, right? You've already heard about even Brother Mark telling about growing in different stages. We've seen a lot of that even through the week. This morning we've started off with children. And we're worked through that. And here he's going to focus on children up a little bit again. And children need some guidance, right? And it's a good place to start. And when you first get saved, you need some guidance, like a child. And so he says, not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. And obviously, to know something, you have to be taught. And the first point tonight in growing in God's guidance is the unbelieved instruction. We're going to be focusing on this chapter, Psalm 78. And you're going to see what these children did. They wouldn't believe the instruction. And God starts off in guiding. He starts off with instruction, just like a little child. And that's his number one ground step. And if we keep reading here, I believe we left off in verse number 6, that the generation to come might know them, what he commanded them. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, like he wanted with Abraham to command his children after them. It's an instruction. It's a lot of guidance going through it. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. A lot of problems that we have is just forgetfulness, right? I've heard many messages on that, but we just forget. And the Lord continually says, don't forget the commandments. Don't forget what he's done. Don't forget. And he's done a lot of things to help us to remember. Verse number 8, he says, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright. And you need to set your heart aright. And whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And that's going to be focused with the heart, that heart being steadfast with God and their heart being set aright. And it was a good place to start, and we'll end around this note as well, with the heart. And that heart needs to be right with God. You see, the children of Ephraim, of course, there's prophetic things through this passage, and we won't go through those things. They are strong there. In verse number 10, they kept not the covenant of God, his commandments, what he told them to do, his words. And they refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. And that's why I titled this first point, Unbelieved Instruction. They wouldn't believe it. And we'll see that more as we go. But a guide is going to start off at the basic. He's going to start with the children. If you come over to Job chapter 31, children need to be taught. And Job chapter 31, this is part of a guide. And a guide needs to bring somebody up. Job chapter 31, verse number 18 says, for from my youth he was brought up with me as with a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb. I connect that guide with the bringing up. And that bringing up is the father bringing up the child, the mother bringing up the child. It's guiding them. We know in Timothy as well that a mother is supposed to guide her house. She's supposed to teach the younger women. Teach her children. Guide them up. Raise them up. In Jeremiah 3, a father is also a guide. He's a guide and to raise up his children. And a lot of that is going to be done with instruction. And if you come to Psalm 25... Psalm chapter 25. See just a few verses along this instruction and guiding. And you don't let your three-year-old cross the street by himself. And I find dealing with young Christians and even in my own Christian life, God didn't leave me just to make grown-up decisions all by myself. He used a lot of different resources, not only himself and his spirit, but people to help me and guiding me. I didn't know the difference between cults and the difference between rightly dividing and the difference between eternal security and assurance of salvation. There's a lot of things to learn, and you need someone to instruct you and to guide you. And the Lord does that in the very beginning stages, and He deals with the Christian basically almost holding their hand and trying to help them to not get run over on the street because he doesn't know what he's doing. And you know how to eat healthy, maybe, but your kids sure don't. They'd eat ice cream and macaroni and cheese if you let them every day, 3 days a time, or even 5 times a day, and I mean, just all day eat ice cream. Clean their diapers and change things out. You know, they wouldn't do it. They'd just run around in that. They would just leave it that way if you didn't teach them how to clean up, how to use a spoon, how to cook, how to clean and dress. Look at Psalm 25 and verse number 8. The Lord does this as well. He starts out with instruction. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. He wants to teach them. And look in verse 9, you see that guiding in there. The meek will He guide in judgment. A lot of judgment is making right decisions. Making judgments about this or that. And the meek will He teach His way. God's way is a way of judgment, and you can see how He connects that guiding and teaching. He does a lot of that. How to study. I never knew how to study until when I came here. Even when I came here, I still didn't know how to study. I got in a Bible-believing church in the military. First time really got some things, but the preacher that I had was a lot practical. I don't remember learning rightly dividing, and he might have had some stuff, but his focus was mostly practical. So coming here, boy, I started learning how to rightly divide and learning really how to pray, learning how to guard, how to have spiritual discernment. The Lord's going to teach you those things through various methods. He's going to hold your hand. He's going to help you along those lines. Look at Psalms chapter 32. Psalms chapter 32 and verse number 8 again. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Come back to that in a second here. He wants to guide, and that guide is connected with teaching. But in verse 9, he says, be ye not as the horse. Right? God doesn't want to have to put this bit or bridle in your mouth to guide you and say, hey, come here. You don't want to have to always hold your child's hand and say, okay, you're coming with me. You don't always want to do that. You want to instruct them and teach them so that they will be able to make right decisions for themselves as well. Growing in God's guidance. He says, I will guide thee with mine eye. Look at Psalm 38. Just a few things, not anything new, but just some cross-references here. Verse number 10 says, my heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. Look at Jeremiah chapter 16. And we see that the eye is connected with light. Right? If your eye be single, it's your whole body's full of light. But if it be evil, boy, that's all dark. And there's a lot of light connected with the Bible. And God wants to guide you with light, and we know what that light is. Look at Jeremiah 16. And verse number 17 says, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. He's watching. He's going to bring to light things. He can take things that are hidden, that's in the dark. And he says, they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. God's eye is light. He sees those things that you try and hide or try and keep from him, the things that are dark and mysterious. God can see those and make those things manifest, obviously through his word. Come to John chapter 16. And we know the Holy Spirit, he's a guide. He's a teacher. John chapter 16. And we find a guide of the blind and a light of them which are in darkness. That guide is someone who is going to give light. Light is connected with that. And of course, a lot of our guide and our instruction and a way we're going to get taught is through the Bible. John chapter 16. We're just setting a format here. Verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show, he's going to let it be known. He's going to open up things and let your eyes see some things. He's going to give light in your understanding. And Pastor put some really good things together on the light and how it gives understanding. And if we keep going, look at 1 John chapter 2 about this teaching. How he trains and gives this instruction. And 1 John chapter 2. And God's going to do these things. He just starts out simple. Starts out basic with a baby Christian. And he's used many people in my life, pastor being a primary one. But several others in this church have been a great help and a guide to me. Of course, my parents have been a help and a lot of guidance and different things and different people the Lord has put in my life. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. It says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. The Holy Spirit doesn't need man to teach you. But I will say generally that's what he uses. He uses man a lot. All through the Bible, he sent and he established things. He'd send prophets. He sent people to give people his words and to instruct them. He puts a father in a home to instruct. He uses men to instruct all the time. People a lot of times say, well, I don't need to be under any man. I'm just going to be a freelancer. Just the Holy Spirit will teach me and lead me. Well, you don't find that principle through the Bible on a whole. Yes, the Holy Spirit doesn't need any man, but he likes to choose to use men. And of course, Philip sitting down with the eunuch, great verse. How can I know if someone doesn't guide me? Someone needs to guide me. And it's going to take growth and learning, and you start learning as the Lord guides you with just instruction. How to navigate this book. This is a, you know, not a huge book. I mean, some dictionaries are bigger than this, and you get an encyclopedia. I mean, I don't know what to do with an encyclopedia. And it's big. But this book, it's not that big. You can handle it. If I can handle it, you can handle it. And the book is, it's a great book. But there's a lot of pieces in it. A lot of those transparencies he talks about that you need to have help in that instruction. But we're going to look, come back to Psalms chapter 78. You see a basic just instruction and guidance. And of course, the Lord will, on your own time, he will teach you things. And that should be a good portion of your life, is to sit with the Lord and learn and have things. But a baby Christian, if you give him a Bible, he looks at it and says, what in the world am I doing? A baby Christian needs some instruction and some help. And the Lord puts men to help you out and gives you help to keep going. Now, Psalm 78, back there, we're going to see this unsurpassed salvation. And when the Lord saved you, if you're saved here tonight, or on the screen, if you're saved, the Lord gave you something just far beyond our understanding. It goes far beyond just, I'm not going to hell. I mean, he's given so much more. And we learn about that in instruction. And just unsurpassed of what he'll do and how he'll protect you and guide you and care for you and lead you and take care of your enemies and provide and, you know, just numerous things. Look at Psalms chapter 78. We're going to hit a few spots here and break this chapter up. Look at verse number 12. We see the salvation. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. Hopefully you can see things that God has done marvelous in your life. Not just saving your soul, but, I mean, just keeping you, walking you through, protecting you from dumb decisions you can make, from putting you into places. I'm so happy to be where I am today. I'm blessed because he was there working. He divided the sea, and we see through verse 14 and 15, you see his hand and his leading and guiding. He's in the daytime also. He led them with a cloud, all the night with a light of fire. Verses 15 and 16, he talks about giving them water. If we jump up to verse number 23, we start seeing food. There's manna from the doors of heaven in verse 23 and verse 24. Calls it corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food in verse 25. Verse 26, he caused an east wind and he brings in the quail. He brings this meat that they were lusting after. Boy, he was good to them in the wilderness. He provided everything they needed. He took care of them unsurpassedly. He not only got them out of Egypt and out of bondage and into freedom, he led them out in the wilderness. He had a light for them. He had a cloud. He had food. He had water. He did all these things to let them know. He set up this tabernacle and this priesthood, and he set up, gave them this law and his commandments. He's done so much for them, right? He's done so much for you. He's done so much for me. Verse 27 and 28, those flesh or those things, he let it just fall right in the midst of their camp. Go to verse 42, they remembered not his hand nor the days when he delivered them from the enemy. Hey, he's delivering from all kinds of enemies. We'll look at his protection here in a minute and his guidance, but he's a deliverer. And verse 43, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt. Boy, you remember the 10 plagues that he did and the things that he did to show his greatness and how he defeated the enemy? Pharaoh was a hard enemy. I'm glad I'm not up against that Pharaoh, but maybe he's around, I don't know. But that Pharaoh, Moses going up against a guy like that to 10 times and he's still not ready to quit? Madness. And the Lord deliver you from your enemies. Verse 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50. It comes down in verse 51, ending with how he smote the firstborn in Egypt. Verse number 52, where we've started off, he said, but he made his own people to go forth like sheep. And like Brother Ian was talking about, it's like a gentle thing. A sheep, you know, it's a pretty picture that he has. He's leading them, you know, guiding them and taking care of them. What more could you want of a good shepherd? He'll take care of the sheep. That's his job. And he guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He took care of everything they needed. Verse 53, he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. It goes on and on. Through verse 55, he casts out the heathen, the more enemies, gives them a place to sit. He drives them out with bees, like Pastor is just preaching on. Come down to 65. And the Lord awaked here. He's shouting. I know there's a lot of prophetic in this passage. But verse 66, he smote his enemies. They took out them. You have the conquest of Joshua, and he's going to smite a lot of your enemies and a lot of sins that you have in your life and things that you've had are just, they were overwhelming you. Like music was an enemy in my life that he defeated. A lot of things I could go through, I don't want to even tell you about it. He's defeated enemies in my life, taken them away. Verse 67 and 68, things he chose. Verse 69, how he built a sanctuary. And like high palaces, like the earth which he hath established forever. There's a sanctuary there. It's a resting place. It's a place where you're safe and dwelling good. He gives them a leader. He chose David to... the one who would feed them in verse 72 according to the integrity of his heart and guiding them by the skillfulness of his hand. God took care of them in every way they needed. And that's the picture of this psalm, is God guiding them and leading them through these things. And he says, don't forget that. A guide is a friend. A guide is a friend. And as a relationship builds and you're instructed and you get to know a little bit about who the Lord is, which I didn't know until I started learning the Word. I didn't know who He was, even though I thought I did. But a relationship is built with that instruction. And it turns into even a friendship. And we find that a guide is an acquaintance. A guide is someone who will keep company and walk in sweet counsel together. Someone who will try and help you out. He's not going to grab you by the ear and force you to do something. He's not going to be like the horse or bridle, but he's going to be a companion. He's going to be a friend and help you out. He's going to try and guide you. Like David said, the gentleness of the Lord hath made me great. He's good to me. He doesn't come in there crazy. He's a good friend in that way. And he's also a protector. Like Hezekiah but 2 Chronicles 32, what he did for Hezekiah. It says, thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. Well, he was a protector to them. He set up and gave Hezekiah rest. He said, I'm guiding you. How many times has he guided you and you have no idea what he's doing? How many people he's fenced off and said, nope, don't come near right now. I'm guiding them and protecting them from what could happen to them. Some enemy lurking in the dark, and you might know who I'm talking about. Psalm 73, jump back there. Psalm 73 and verse 23. You see more growth as you go on through your Christian life. He turns into a little bit of a friend because you get to know him. You build a relationship. And when someone you get to know, my wife... Boy, getting to know her was just amazing, and getting to have a friendship. And that friendship has been just a tremendous help to me over in the Philippines. Just me and her, as far as the Americans go, and just mostly I'm seeing Filipinos and dealing with them, and she's just been a friend. And it's been a great friend. And verse 23... Asaph is speaking this psalm here. He says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee, the Lord. Thou, God, the Lord, hast holden me, Asaph speaking here in his psalm, by my right hand. Verse 24, he says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." And even as you grow in the Lord, sometimes the Lord will still hold your hand and He'll be right next to your side and He'll be walking along with you and keeping you going. But it's counsel that He gives then at that point. You still, of course, get rebuked. You get chastening as a father, and we can tie those things in. But as a guide here, He starts giving counsel as a friend. You better not do that. He comes in and He's a protector. He's a fortress. But come back to Psalm chapter 78. And that counsel, that guide there is going to produce growth and maturity. God's not going to deal with you as a little baby. He's going to try and get you to grow. Try and get you to where you can stand up on your own two feet. There you can look both ways before crossing the street and all those things. And in Psalm 78, we're going to start bringing in a bad point here. We're going to look at the unchanged corruption. The unchanged corruption. And no matter what you do or how hard you try, the only one who can change this corruptible is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 17. Verse 17, we find in this history, we find this unchanged corruption, this sin keep popping up. And these men, they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And you know, they tempted God in verse 18, and He gets very angry, and come down to verse number 22, and we're going to get to the heart of this, because they believe not in God. That was their problem. It was a faith problem. It was a faith problem. And they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. And that is a Christian's problem. Man always wants more than just the Bible. Something more than just God's words. To just go on God's words, give me something else. Give me a sign. Give me something clear. Give me something else. And they end up going for something dumb. Man does it every time. He likes to add so many things with the Bible. And we've pastors dealt with all kinds of things. A man adds science or education or tradition or philosophy or all those things you can put. Even Christians have very little faith to just believe God. And Christians oftentimes will backslide. They'll go back from Him. They'll go the other way because of just not believing the instruction that they were given. And just God's guidance. Look at verse, come to 29 through 32. You see more of this, and they're estranged from their own lust, and the wrath of God comes down. And verse 32 says, "For all this they sinned still and believed not for His wondrous works." There's a lack of faith, a lack of faith. Lord, please increase our faith. Please. We need faith in Your Word. Just so often, the Christian that I see get out of the race is because there's something he doesn't believe. Something he won't take, and he has a problem with the Lord on something. And you know, "Lord, I don't like the preaching of my pastor." You see that a lot. And they say, "Well, I'm getting preaching because I'm listening on the internet." And you know, I just hate to see that. I see it so often. I've seen it time and time again. Getting out of church and getting out of sorts with a pastor. And I really appreciate our pastor. And I just keep trying to emphasize that because I've seen so many people. There's things that my pastor and your pastor, our pastor, is going to do that you don't like. And he's going to say some things that you don't like. And that's what I like about him. He says a lot of things I don't like. And he's one of my favorite preachers because he's told me how wrong I was. And that's what I need to hear. I remember a Filipino is really an encouragement to me because that Filipino, Orly, is in a bank, a Bible study. Some of you might remember me saying that, but after he got saved and ended up bringing him out to a church and asked him, would you do a testimony? He gave up and he said, boy, I hated that guy when he first came in. And he told me all the things that was wrong with me. And God is a really good instructor. He'll tell you what's wrong with you in hopes that you're going to get right. In hopes that you're going to do right and fix these things and give you good instruction. Oh, that they had a heart in them to follow my words. Right? The unchanged corruption. Yet they wouldn't believe. They wouldn't believe His word, His work. Look at verse 40. Come down to verse number 40. And verse 41, we have how often they did provoke Him. Verse 41, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Why? Because they wouldn't believe Him. They wouldn't let God do all what He wanted to do because they wouldn't believe Him. God had to keep holding back and putting things on hold and keep stopping with this. And God says, I want to go on, but I can't because they don't believe me. They just won't trust me with this. And it's His words. You look on even farther in verse 56. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not all His testimonies, even though His unsurpassed salvation. We read in Proverbs chapter 2 about this woman which forsaketh the guide of her youth. That guide says, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Has to do with words. She's forsaking the instruction, the covenant, the commandments. God calls this book the book of the covenant. It's His words. It's His law. It's what He told them to do, and that youth, once it grows up, it says it forsakes that guide. Unchanged corruption. They just won't believe. They won't say, hey, my parents really knew what they were talking about, like you've already heard. Look at Psalm 112. Psalm 112. We're going to look at some requirements at maturity. Requirements at maturity. We don't have a lot farther to go here. Requirements at maturity. God wants the Christian to mature, to grow. And at maturity, look at Psalm 112, verse number 5. Excuse me, here's back to that good man. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. We're going to look at this second part of the verse. It says, he will guide his affairs with discretion. Who's guiding? Is it God? No. It's the good man. You know, at maturity, a Christian at maturity should be able to guide himself with discretion. He will guide his affairs and the things that you face in life as you've been instructed and you have this friendship and fellowship is sweet and different things go and He protects you. At some point, God's going to want you to step out on your own two feet and make some decisions and guide your actions yourself without having to put that bit and bridle in your mouth, without having to hold your hand across the street. Going on, now look at Proverbs chapter 2 on this discretion. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Proverbs says quite a few things about discretion. But just look at one. Look at verse 11 in chapter 2. It says, discretion shall preserve thee. Be a protector. Understanding shall keep thee. What we say, use your own discretion. What, make your own judgment. Make your own decision on that, whether it's right or wrong. And a good Christian, a mature Christian, should be able to make those decisions. God's guidance, He's going to leave you with His word and say, now you make the decision. Growing up. Go look over at verse number 12. That discretion will come here to preserve thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. and the man that speaketh froward things. That discretion is going to help that man, and he's going to be able to guide his affairs with it. Go to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. Hopefully this isn't too boring of a study here and you're following along. But God's guidance. And I want God to guide me. And Lord, how do you guide me? I'm always looking for things in life and always looking, Lord, just please take me by the hand and show me, because I'm just an idiot and I don't know. And God says, hey, you're mature enough to make a discretion decision for yourself. And, you know, based on the Word of God. Now look at that, based on the instruction God gives you. Go to the Philippines, and my pastor's not there in the Philippines. I've had to learn to rely on God without my parents around, without my pastor next door. I don't see him every Sunday. We email, we talk, we have letters, but it's not the same as just a conversation, being able to come up to him and talk to him, and getting counsel and those things. I've had to learn to be able to make decisions for myself. And that's part of growing up. And personally, I don't particularly care for it. I'd rather go back to just, please tell me what to do. I don't know if it's part of being a leader where you can start guiding others, but that's the kind of idea that I get from it. The Lord wants you to be able to guide others and teach others and guide your children and get you to the point where you're growing. Look at Isaiah chapter 28, right? Verse 26 says, for his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. Why does he teach you? So you can get to a point where you can discern and make decisions between right or wrong, or what I should do in the ministry, and where you can discern, what do I need to do? Do I need to pray? Do I need to wait? Do I need to get up and go? Do I need to run? Do I need to just walk carefully? Do I need to be, what do I need to do? There's a lot, and you can't just always go to your pastor and say, Lord, Pastor, what do I do? You need to make some decisions as a mature Christian. Thank God, as a young Christian, he doesn't leave you like that. He leaves you with some guides and helps all around. And but as you grow up, get your own ministries and branches and things like that, and chances to minister to people, you got to make some decisions. You got to make your own work on that. Proverbs chapter 11 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. I've heard good sermons on that, on the integrity there. But that guiding is his integrity. It's the guy inside, what is his character and building, for lack of better words, that's going to guide him to do right because he's been instructed from the Word of God. People like to leave their guiding. They like to leave their instruction. And the problem is these people, come back to Psalms chapter 78, these people like to leave their guide, their instruction. Right at the, you know, they get to a point where just my way is a little bit better. God's way, you know, I'm a Bible believer, and I believe the Bible, but there's one point right here that I don't like. You know, it's just this one part about forgiveness that God doesn't understand, you know. Whatever the case may be, this one part about this person or the brethren, loving the brethren, that's just a hard thing to do. And they, Lord, if you knew about this, or, you know, the spouse, or, you know, and you know, this whole submitting deal and the whole, you know, if the Lord knew some things, there's a lack of faith, a lack of just believing that God knows what he's talking about. Well, how to train your children? Man, do I really have to beat the tar out of them? Do I really have to take this rod and save his soul from hell? I mean, that is like, whoa, Lord, isn't this pretty strong? And, you know, wholeness, don't spare for crying. I mean, don't just, Is that really good? The modern way of thinking, is that a good thing? And our way just tends to say that, Lord, you know what? I'm just going to do timeouts and grounding and different methods, but Lord, I'm not going to use that rod. Why? Because we think our way is better. We don't believe. Don't believe that faith. It's lacking. Back in Psalm 78, verse 56, you see they tempted God, this unchanged corruption in man. Verse 57, they turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. They're going backwards. They're backsliding. They're not going forward. And verse 58 says, for they provoked him to anger with their high places. And Brother Mark preached a good message on that. And Christians today often set things up in their heart and in their mind in these strongholds, and they say, Lord, I know I'm a Bible believer, but still I don't believe that I need to be a doer of the word and do this. I like my thoughts. Or I like this idol that I have. Or I like these things. It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith. Proverbs 23 says, hear thou my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Oh, with what? The instruction. He gives that out. We've seen those verses. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. But you have to do some guiding yourself as a mature Christian. And that's how God's guidance will work. He'll leave you with His scriptures. And praise God, He never leaves you nor forsakes you. And there's times where it's like, Lord, Lord, what do I do? Lord, what do I do? And you don't get a clear answer. And He says, you've got my word. That's all you need. I want you to go out there and make a right decision. And you say, turn to my wife. Sweetie, what should I do? Kids, what should I do? Can I get on the phone, call my friend and call, who could I call and say, hey, can you help me out with this decision? The Lord said, come on, be a man, grow up. Make a decision. There's part of that in God's guidance. God's guidance. Thank God His Spirit is with you. Spirit is with you, and you pray. Of course, all your guidance and decisions should be centered around prayer and what the instruction and faith and what He said and believing those things, but you still have to make some decisions. Look at verse number 2. And you see an example of people here again, and yet they seek me daily. Is that a good thing? Sure. And delight to know my ways. Great. But that little word here, he puts in as a nation that did righteousness. Now that should be good, but the problem is these people's heart is not in it. They want to be like them. See, they're a good nation, they're a good people, so we're going to do this like they did it, but we're going to do it our own way. And through this verse, all these things look good in verse 2. Forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. How many ministers do you see today, modern Christians who don't care nothing about the Word, and they take delight in approaching God? Preachers stand up all the time thinking they are the spokesperson of God. They are the center. I take delight in approaching to God, but they do it the wrong way. And Christian, this is where I'm going to say heads up. They try to serve God in their own way. And Christians do this constantly. They keep thinking, okay, pastor preached this. It was really good instruction. It was good, but boy, I just got my own little way about doing this. Watch out. Watch out. And verse 3 and verse 4 and verse number 5, the Lord goes in and saying, hey, you're doing this fast all wrong. You got the wrong motive. You're doing it the wrong way. You got the what you're doing is wrong. And verse number 6 and verse number 7, for your sake of time, I have a lot of good notes about this. I don't need to go through it again. Pastor does a much better job than me with this. But he goes through all this fasting and what it does and the power. And boy, I've been able to use that in the Philippines. Get a hold of God. Verse number 6 and 7, he shows you what he wants. And verse number 8 and 9 and 10 and 11, he goes through and he shows what will happen if you do it the right way. If you go God's way rather than serve God your way, you're going to find a whole lot better things. And I'm going to just for short, just kind of shorten things down here. Verse 11, just go straight there. And if you do things God ways, the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden bearing fruit, right? Be like that tree, doing things God ways. I'm trying to teach my kids this. I'm trying to teach myself this all the time. My way is wrong. Always wrong. My way every time is wrong, and I need to get in this book and say, God, what is your way? This is my instruction. And when you say, God, I need your way, and you follow his way and not just be a listener of the word but a doer of the word, God will guide you. He'll guide you continually. And like a spring of water whose waters fail not. That's his promise there. Look at back at Psalm 78, and we're done turning and we're closing down here. Psalms chapter 78. That unchanged corruption. I wish I could have more faith. To just have more faith and believe what God says, that all things work together for good. To not have to worry and panic and have these fears and, I mean, just all this stuff. I mean, just there's a lack of faith so strong. It just, I think a lot of it is because I don't spend time in prayer like I should. And I have a message on that and faith building and prayer and how the disciples, they just, you never find them praying. And the Lord was always praying. Jesus was always praying. And every time he prayed, he was alone. And if the disciples were with him, he was still the only one praying. And the disciples are standing there and he says, you know what, you guys have a problem. Your faith is too weak. And just that's part of that. Just that's free. That's a second message, probably a rabbit trail. Psalm 78, look at verse 33. Do you know the unheeded correction? This is the last thing. Oh, when will they ever learn? Right? Man, can they just get that instruction and stick to it? Stick to it. Don't get out of it. Don't get out of your local church. Unless for some reason God is guiding and bless you. You got the blessing of your pastor on it and you talk with him and stick with it. Don't get out. Psalm 78, verse 33. See, too many Christians. This happens, therefore, that their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. Why? Because they wouldn't believe him. They wouldn't have faith that this instruction is the right instruction. You won't get this anywhere else. Not in here in Minnesota, except you go to St. Cloud and, I mean, you get parts and pieces. Thank God for that. I'm appreciative of that. But boy, I'm glad for this place. Pastor has a solid foundation on this book, and I'm ready to, you know, hey, submit to him, even if I don't always understand. I know you say, oh, that's why I only submit to the Lord. I know, because you don't follow the Bible. You don't believe the Bible when God says, submit yourselves. It's hard, right? It's hard. I'm my own man. I'm a boss here. And I know we go through these problems. Everybody faces these things. And that's why I see most people get out of church or something they don't like and something that goes wrong. Of course, there's always supposed to be things you don't like. Why? Because you have a lot of things wrong with you. God's going to guide if you'll listen to that instruction and keep that instruction and believe His words. Verse 33, and their years in trouble. Verse 34, when He slew them, then they sought Him. And they returned and inquired early after God. Oh God, don't hurt me, please help! Is this a good thing? Look at verse 35. They remembered that God was their rock and the high God, their Redeemer. God, remember, You're my rock. Oh please, just, you know, don't kill me! But what's the problem? Verse 36, nevertheless, there was still a problem in there. They got good words. They know how to carry their Bible. They know how to come to church and speak good things. But there's something wrong with their heart. Verse 36, they did flatter Him with their mouth. And they lied unto Him with their tongues. Christians do that plenty. So how do you know? I've done it myself. I know how to flatter. I know how to be a good-looking Christian. When you're sour and down, who doesn't? Verse 37, here's the problem. For their heart was not right with Him, with God. You know, he says, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. God left them with His words, and their heart was not right with this book. That's your problem. That's your enemy. That's why most people don't like pastor. That's why most people don't like anyone who preaches the truth. They don't like them because this book goes against you and your heart has a problem with it. Your heart is wrong. And you need to set your heart aright. How do you do that? By taking that instruction and applying it there and guiding your own heart with that instruction. You've heard that time and time again. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Well, I want you to notice this in verse 38. God knows. Verse 38, but He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. Aren't you glad when you didn't have enough faith and you didn't believe God enough? Boy, He's full of compassion and ready to forgive. And He destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away. I have no idea how many times God has turned His anger away from me. No idea, but I know it's a lot. And did not stir up all His wrath. He's not going to just go out and kill you right away. Thank God, I'll just say this, thank God He does not deal with individuals like He does nations. I'm thankful for that. There's a big difference in the Old Testament and the New. But verse 39, for He remembered. He remembered. Do you remember? You remember what He's done? He hasn't forgotten what you are. He remembered that they were but flesh. God knows you're weak. God knows you're going to fall. God knows you're going to mess up and make just disasters of your life. And all these things are going to crumble on you. And you're going to, Lord, just be weak in faith and not be able to trust Him and go through that. But He remembers that you're just flesh. That all you are is a wind that passeth away. And cometh not again. That's all you are. It's all He says you are. I believe that. But He remembers and He says, I'm full of compassion. Let you come. I'll guide you with this book. God wants you to guide this book. And I'm so glad I have a pastor who's given me a book. And he's not ever sat down and said, you need to come to me. You know what he's always done? He said, you need to go to this book. He's not a man up here to try and get authority and power, although he has the authority that God has given him and put him in that place. He's not up there trying to point you to this hierarchy of this kingdom building type thing that a lot of churches do. He's trying to get you to point to that book and to find that book, and that's all he's done for me, and it's been such a help and such a guide to where I can come now and I can reach God out to myself and say, God, hey, I know where you are. I know a little bit about you now. He'll guide you. And that's the growth of a Christian. Don't get out of that belief of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank you so much for the heritage you've given us. Thank you, Lord, to be a part of this church and of all the places in the world. I remember as a kid, my family skipping around from church to church. I remember in the military going from church to church, trying to look for a good church, trying to look for something that was actually some form of truth. And you know, you find things here and there, but Lord, it's good to find a solid foundation. Built on a Word of God and not on anything else. Not on buildings and people, but built on the Word of God and on Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you bless my brothers and sisters and uphold them against the wiles of the devil and help them to be sober and vigilant and make right decisions and Lord, to grow in grace and in all these things that they've heard this week and through the paths of life and just casting down strongholds and multiple things that we've heard to run our race and just stay in tune with you. Please help in Jesus' name.